Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where never before in story or rhyme, not even once upon a time, has the world ever known a you, my friends. And it never will, not ever again. Thanks for joining us. Producer Rich, at it again with the show intro. Dr. So, Seuss? What are we going here?
It felt very Seussian, right?
It felt Seuss-alicious.
Yeah, Seuss-like.
Seuss-ish.
And also Sarama. So appropriate to Buzztown.
Oh my God. So true.
If I may, unplanned, just make a reference to the fact that our dear friend Ethan Kane, aka Amos, aka Anthony Lemos, led a merry troop of rogues who all got together and recovered links to every Buzz Out Loud episode, have put them in the Buzz Out Loud archive project, which is now got original art from Scott Johnson, so they're not infringing on any copyrights, and are sourcing from the original files on CNET servers or from archive.org, and are making a feed of all the old Buzz Out Loud episodes available for people, and streaming a 24/7 Buzz Out Loud network into Discord.
I mean, you guys, like, I've never seen anything like this, and I don't know how we got so lucky. I mean, this is amazing.
Probably the easiest way to access it is twitter.com/BuzztownArchive. Just go there, and that will lead you to all of the other things. It is the unofficial recovery project, as it describes itself, but frankly, it's as official as one could get, I think.
It really is, and it is absolutely phenomenal, and I'm so grateful. And also, I'm looking, I mean, like, just scrolling. So they're posting all the episodes there, and starting yesterday, December 8th, they said they'll be publishing about 7 per day until mid-February, when they'll switch to single releases each day to get on track for the 20th anniversary.
That was Amos's whole, like, motivating factor, is like, I want to have it finish in, like, perfectly on time for the 20th anniversary. That's amazing.
It is amazing.
Thank you, Buzztown.
Thank you. Like, thank you, Buzztown. And I know that, like, plenty of Buzztown is still around.
Yeah.
Still right here in the Discord while we're doing this show. Like, it is just a miracle. It's a miracle. We're so lucky.
I'd say we're not worthy, but I think all of us together are.
All of us together,
like y'all,
definitely are
there with us.
Yeah,
the whole thing.
We're a fam. Yeah. We're a fam.
I just said I would. I didn't say I wouldn't cry. I'm gonna cry. Screw it.
Yeah, no, I teared up a little bit when I saw it launch. It's freaking amazing.
No, it's pretty great.
Freaking amazing.
Not even gonna lie. Don't have to. No. My first thing for this episode is something that's been around. It's been growing. You may say, like, oh man, I've had one of these for years, but I saw it, trying to remember exactly where I saw it. I was out at a grocery store. This was not a Bed Bath & Beyond. This was not a department store. And they had beverage fridges for sale. Like, I'm pretty sure it was a Ralph's. It was like up at the front, like, yeah, beverage fridge, which makes sense, right? Grocery store sells drinks, but beverage fridges are now so de rigueur that you can just pick them up anywhere.
And are you talking about the little, like, the tiny, because I actually just bought one of these and was like, oh my God, I can't believe this exists. Like a little, like, 6-can fridge. Like, it's small.
6-can, like, would be on the small size side, but yes, small fridges. I've seen the 6-can one that you're talking about, on up to ones that'll be like more like your break room size,
or, like,
you know, fit under a counter, you know, maybe not bigger than a dishwasher or anything, but, you know, maximum. Yeah. But they have the clear front usually, so that you you can see all of your options before you open it up. And it's one of those things that originally, I think, was a staple of like a startup, right? Oh, we have our beverage fridge. And now is just, I don't know, maybe because everybody had to work from home, now has moved into people's homes.
Interesting. I wonder, or yeah, you're right, because it's not back to school season. So there's no reason for them to be at the front other than the fact that I guess people are buying them. I bet it has everything to do with home offices. That's a great little like microeconomic story.
I was talking to Veronica Belmont, Buzz Out Loud alum, last year, and she was like saying like, yeah, we kind of broke down and got a beverage fridge because we're working from home, you know, and it's kind of bougie, but it's really cool and I love it. And then when I saw them at the grocery store, I'm like, oh yeah, they're not bougie anymore.
It's not bougie. Just, yeah, it turns
like,
out.
Like commodity. Like,
Sharon anyway. Marie points out that the little tiny one that I bought, which just like sort of fits a few cans in it, is also... And I noticed this when I bought it on the Amazon listing that it's used for skincare.
Oh, yeah. Eileen has one of that's a sub thing of it, or maybe of it a separate
skincare
fridge. Skincare fridge. Eileen has one of those too. She got one for her birthday.
Oh my gosh, that is too funny. It's just for like cooling off your face masks and stuff. And it, yeah. Yeah. Who knew? I know. I thought it was just for like three cans of LaCroix, but.
Hey,
apparently also.
Yeah, you could do both. Can of LaCroix, face masks, all good.
Totally. Well, if I seem a little down energy and or you hear residual snot in my voice, it's because of this sub thing happening, which is that everyone's getting a cold right now and everyone is pissed about it.
Oh, my gosh.
So as you all know, if you're regular listeners, I was off the show last week because I texted these guys and was like, I'm so sick. I can't. And it's just been a full blown sinus infection. Like, it is terrible. But also, everyone I know has it. And because no one's really had a cold in 2 years, none of us were prepared for this.
Yeah. There is at all. Some plucky virus out there that said, hey, I don't kill people. I'm going to replicate like crazy through the entire population. This is amazing. Well,
literally is like, welcome back, fresh meat.
Scott Johnson has sinus infection. He's talking about it publicly. In case you were like, oh, don't out Scott. He's got
for having
that.
A cold. Yeah. How embarrassing.
I know. People get weird about health stuff though, but I'm like, this is not privileged information. My accountant is sick. Like, everybody.
Yep. Everybody. And it's all this sinus thing. And the sinus thing is kind of close to Delta. And so everybody has had to get tested multiple times. And yeah, it sucks. So that is the sub thing of kind of the month. And I expect it to continue. So just, sorry in advance, everyone. You're all going to get it, I'm assuming.
The sub thing of existence right now.
The sub thing of existence right now. Something of life. But I have actual things because shopping never stops. So this has been a thing for a while, and it has taken me literally months to find the name of the thing. It's these chairs. And I know you've seen them everywhere if you are looking on Instagram or indoor-outdoor stores or like any kind of design thing. And they're those little – they're chairs that are oval and they're kind of webbed. Like they just are – they are sort of an oval in the front and like a triangle shape in the back. And it's just a series of string that meets in the middle.
It reminds
it's kind of hard
me
to
of
explain.
Do you ever make pot holders on a little loom when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
You would take
it
the little
looks
loops.
Like that.
Yeah. They look like you're halfway through one of those.
Right. So, and it turns out the only way you can, because my friend was like, oh, they're called Baja chairs, which they're not. Because if you look for that, you just get loungers. But it appears that what they're actually called is Acapulco egg chairs.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah. Which you can see where she got the thing. And there, it's like that sort of, the really straightforward one is the one that just sort of comes to a circle in the middle. I'm just really trying so hard not to say that it looks like a like inverted butthole.
But it kind of does.
But it kind of does. However, they're super freaking comfortable and awesome and
no,
everywhere.
No, I hate these chairs.
No.
Oh, I the last time I ever tried to sit in one, it was like a broken one. Some studio had it, and I was like, ah, this thing is awful. It digs into your rear end. Really? You like these?
Oh, the butthole ones are so comfortable.
You know, I mean, it's just.
I wish I could come up with another explanation.
Different predilection.
I'm just saying, according to the end of the year survey I got from Pornhub, so a thing. But yeah, no, I mean, they're actually.
I'm not trying to yuck your yum. If you're into it, it's cool.
They're very comfortable, and I was surprised that they are, and everybody who has sat in them has been surprised. But yeah, the Acapulco lounge chair for indoors and out.
Maybe I only have experienced a malformed Acapulco chair.
I've definitely
sat in something that looked like this that was not comfortable at all.
So yeah,
I'm gonna have to reintroduce.
I could
myself.
Definitely see that. But these ones, I will say, are that they're actually pretty delightful. I bought two of them on Wayfair. There's like, you know, the expensive versions and then all the different knockoff ones. Mm-hmm. I bought some as patio furniture, but they look really cute inside too, with like a little sheepskin throw. And
that's true. They're indoor out, right? You can use them wherever. Yeah.
You can use them wherever, but they're really everywhere. And people have, if they're lucky enough, have them in these nice bright colors, because the bright color ones are actually kind of hard to find. I could see where, look, if it was busted or there was like a string sticking out or whatever, that would be really unfortunate.
I'm sorry, uncomfortable. But this hay needle link that you have, like the person who took this photo listens to the show, right? Because there's the plant. What's the name of that plant?
the Monstera.
The Monstera. There's a candle fireplace, which that's a deep cut. That goes back years.
Oh, that's a deep track.
I swear that's a printable rug that thing is sitting on.
Oh, I bet it totally is. Oh my God. That's amazing. Also, these walls with the little plants hanging. I know.
Yeah.
It really is. God. I mean, it just tells me we're great at this.
Yeah.
Because this is just one big thing collection.
It's true. Yeah.
It's just true. Anyway, your mileage may vary, but I'm pro the butthole chair, and it's everywhere.
Also, I will no longer call it the Acapulco chair, even though I just learned that's what it's called, the Acapulco egg chair. I will call it the butthole chair, and I will give the butthole chair another chance.
I you should. Well, come visit. We'll have drinks on the deck.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have an espresso martini.
Yes.
On the deck.
I'll just keep drinking tea and eating soup for the rest of my freaking life, apparently.
I am going to use my other thing this week to just nail one down. You've seen this. Mm-hmm. This is not new. This is not a predictive trend. Appreciate you as a kind of cool man or thank you or love you or whatever, right? That you say to people like, appreciate you.
Totally.
Absolutely becoming a thing. Absolutely a thing. Not even becoming. Forget becoming. Definitely a
fully
thing.
A thing, and so much a thing that I finally started using it in a way that did not feel appropriative.
This is another person or another subculture's thing that you're like, no, it's just widespread.
This is a thing. Yep. Thing. Yep. Good. I'm glad. I love it. And also I am similarly just nailing one down. And I feel like when you put everything through the context of butthole, then it just is a whole other, like, now it sounds like I'm pooping.
When you put things through and then use the word butthole, I mean, yeah, you kind of are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not quite right, everyone.
Where are we going with this, Mollywood?
Thing community. Nowhere. Ironically, we're just going to doggies. We're just going to dogs.
They do poop a lot, though.
They do poop a lot. Look, doodles. It's not new. It's not a new thing.
Right.
But now it's just like, it's the only dog. And there are so many kinds. Like, doodles are quickly becoming the only dog. And if you're not familiar with the doodle, it's like the cross between whatever other dog and a poodle, so that you can have a cute dog that's also hypoallergenic.
Right. So you're.
So they're designer dogs.
Pit doodle, your German doodle.
Yeah. There's the Berna doodle. Corgi doodle. Well, it started really with the Labradoodle.
Right.
And
right.
Again, I acknowledge up front that this isn't a particularly new trend. I think it's just gotten to the point where everybody was like, oh, hell yes. And now every time somebody like.
Your dogs are disputing this.
I'm going to go ahead and mute that.
Yeah. There, we have a dissenting opinion from Molly's non-doodle dogs on the rise of the doodles.
Do not doodle. Doodle, doodle, doggy.
Don'tles. No, that's what your dogs
are. I'm going to mute one more time.
Your dogs are don'tles, a minority voice in the world of dog breeds. But you're right about the doodles. Like, I see, as a percentage of dogs I see on the street, a higher and higher percentage of like, is that a some dude like poodle mix? And yes, they are. So many doodles.
They're all doodles all the time. Bernedoodle is like I think the new top choice. Like, it used to be Labradoodle because it was so Muppety. I mean, they're freaking cute. Like, don't get me wrong. But now the Bernedoodle is where it's at because everybody wanted a Bernese Mountain Dog because that was like the hipster dog.
Yeah.
But nobody actually wanted to get in on that level of hair and
big dog
bigness and slobber and dander and all of the things. And so now Bernedoodles have taken over. But I think you're totally right. I think pretty any minute now we're going to see Noberdoodle.
I have don'tles. Neither of my dogs are crossbreeds of poodles.
Nice.
But the golden doodle thing, which, like you said, that was kind of the OG.
Oh, that's right. Golden doodle, then Labradoodle, then Bernedoodle.
I think,
Cher Marie put a Bernedoodle. Let me look at him.
My German Shepherd. Oh my gosh. I just
see.
Yeah. Cher Marie, stop that. We can't do the show if you keep doing that. It's too cute. I have a German Shepherd, which according to genetic tests is part Golden Retriever. Should I refer to Ray the dog as a Golder Shepherd?
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When people ask what breed, oh no, she's not a shepherd. Golder.
She's a Golder Shepherd. Yeah. I have a Chihuahua Terrier cross that I like to refer to as a Chihuahuarier.
Oh, I love that.
Yep. I'm a big fan of that one. And then, but then I just have a spaniel that I like to refer to as Ding Dong.
Yeah.
Very cute.
Sawyer is mostly Border Collie. And the other 50% is Charm.
Oh, well done, sir.
And our no longer with us dog Django was Django. That her breed was Django. There was no dog like that dog.
Yes. That is very true.
And as I take a sip of my espresso martini and salute.
Oh, poor little Alpha Django.
Ah.
Yep. I doubt that I personally will be getting a doodle anytime soon because they are like an expensive designer dog and that's not really my jam.
That's the problem, right?
But I mean, I guess maybe they'll start to become ubiquitous enough that people are just like, I'm over it. And then there'll be like,
it's not purebred, but I don't like that it's bred.
I know. It kind of stinks that it's bred and it stinks that they're really expensive, but I got to say the whole like hypoallergenic dog thing.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. And also the Bernedoodle is to die for. Doodles.
I had to minimize Discord after that picture or I would just sit.
Oh no, she put in like three more. I mean, you know. Like, yeah, Frenchies were like the dog and now it's all doodle.
Yeah.
All doodle.
Basta doodles.
If you see like somebody with a cute dog, you will probably not go wrong by being like, is it some kind of a doodle? That's literally, I've said that to people like 5 times. So, is it some kind of a doodle?
Which doodle is this?
Which doodle do you do?
All right, let's get to your things because your things are awesome. Feedback at itsathing.me. Lee Price has a potential winter fashion thing, currently visiting New York and noticing a lot of folks wearing extremely glossy puffer jackets. Think PVC levels of gloss. Looks a little bit 2003 hip hop music video, but seems to be a winter fashion thing.
Totally. I also saw this in New York. Yep. 100%. There's this kind of like vinyl look, but certainly with the puffers. 100%.
Glossy vinyl. All right.
Glossy vinyl. Glossy vinyl puffer coat.
We will get that in LA when the temp dips below 60 during the day.
Yes.
Probably.
Exactly. Sarah from Bangor, Maine, not Bangor. She wanted us to know on Bangor. A potential thing.
Okay, got it.
Bangor. Hi, team thing. My coworker was showing me their amazing collection of enamel pins the other day. Then I remembered I'd gotten my sister-in-law a boatload of enamel pins to go with the denim trucker jacket that I got her for Christmas. Side note, denim trucker jackets might also be a thing. My favorite was an enamel pin of Bernie Sanders with his mittens at the inauguration. And she says there are a ton of them on Etsy, Amazon, and elsewhere. Totally a thing.
Personally, have an anecdote on the trucker jacket thing. I have a denim black trucker jacket. Was at a concert, walking down the hall, asked one of the people who worked at the venue for directions to something. And as I was walking away, they were like, cool jacket. So,
there you go. Ooh, yeah. Which no, I'm I like, think they're definitely
what? Me wearing a thing? Oh, thanks.
You're like, what? Me? Yeah. Also, the idea that denim trucker jackets with enamel pins all over them is coming back is really
70s or back. Like,
it's really the time loop. Yeah. It really is.
Absolutely.
Vaughn. Oh, yeah. Sorry. You read this because okay. I read the last one.
Because we're both so excited about mailbox palettes. Vaughn wrote, dear Rich, Tom, and Molly, not lost on us that you put Rich first, and well done, Vaughn. Rich deserves it. As I am driving down the road in the rural snow belt of Nebraska, Ohio, I actually said Northeast Ohio, not Nebraska. Northeast Ohio. Rich's thing was pallets in front of mailboxes. I didn't need the detailed description because I could see it. 40-60% of the mailboxes I was driving by had them. They've been a thing here for at least a decade, likely far longer. People here put them up to protect their mailboxes from getting buried, covered, or even knocked over by the snowplows as they throw slush, snow, and nastiness off the side of the road. Makes it less likely you'll have to dig or even chip out your mailbox. Oh, not just pallets are used. Scrap sheet metal, plywood are often used as well. As to why it's becoming a thing in your neck of the woods, in my opinion, likely due to the farm aesthetic being a thing.
Maybe. But wait, did Rich bring up the pallets?
Yes, on last week's episode.
He, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he lives in Ohio.
Right? Pallets.
Yeah.
Pallets everywhere. Not a
So not I wonder, but lost. Have you, Tom, ever seen it? Is it like spreading?
No, I said I would keep an eye out.
There's an Ohio
because we
thing.
Have those kind of those kind of rural roads in the LA Hills and also like when you get out away from the city in some of the smaller towns. And I'm like, I go there every once in a while. I'll keep an eye out. I haven't seen them yet, but I also haven't been in any of those places. So we don't have snowplows. So if it's very snowplow centric, probably don't have it. If it's farm aesthetic spreading, we'll get it.
Yep, totally. Chip writes in from cold Boston on a meme thing. Hey, Tamale plus Rich. I'm sure you have seen this post around the internet or the many memes it has spawned. But in case you haven't, I present to you for thing verification, Sharon's Burnt Marie calendar pie. I saw someone share the original post a few days ago with hundreds of comments roasting her roasting. But since then, it has taken on a life of its own. The tipping point for me was the person who made a crocheted replica of the burnt pie. Love the show. Hope you had a better Thanksgiving than Sharon.
My heart goes out to Sharon. That is a crispy pie.
It's a really, really burnt pie. I mean, it's got a dome of charcoal. Of carbon.
Yeah, charcoal.
Of carbon. And she apparently posted it to Facebook, adding, you know, on the Marie calendar page and said, thanks for ruining Thanksgiving.
Aww.
I don't think Marie Callender. I'm just saying, I think you got to set a timer, Sharon.
Unless they bought it baked from the Marie Callender like diner and it came that way, in which case, open up the box and send it back.
Sharon's like, burnt. I haven't seen this and I love it, although to be fair, I have not been on the internet because I have been busy knocking on heaven's door.
Rich says, broil at 550 for an hour. Yeah, that's not the instructions for your pie. All right. It just says here we have a very special voicemail, Molly.
I see.
All right.
I see.
So let's listen in. Take it away, very special voice mailer. There's music.
Hey, this is Remy. A few months ago, I was intending to give you a voicemail about the idea of It's Been a Minute, which was something I'd never heard before up until like a few years ago. There's a podcast. You know, the name of it was It's Been a Minute, and I'm like, what does that even mean? But it's become more and more common. I think it's a thing, or it's been a thing. But then I've actually heard it in my day-to-day life here in this very small town in northwestern Illinois, which made me wonder, has it gone past peak thing? Is it no longer a thing? If I'm encountering it in my day-to-day life, is it no longer a thing? I don't know. But here's a second possible thing that isn't anymore a thing. The front page of today's paper from my local hometown was on charcuterie boards.
Nice.
So, past peak thing? I guess I'm looking for a thing check. Or a still a thing check.
Ah, Remy, yes.
Don't you have a third thing? Just keep talking, buddy.
Been a minute. Still a thing, I think.
It's been a minute. It's still a thing. Still has a thing. Been a thing, but still a thing.
It's been a thing for a minute.
It's been a thing for a minute.
charcuterie boards, I think, still a thing. They're both still a thing.
I'm going to go with still. I mean, I think when it's on the front page of the paper, that only confirms its sort of current thing status.
Right. I mean, I guess if it's front page of the paper in Galena, Illinois, and L.A. restaurants don't offer it anymore, that would be different. But I haven't seen it disappear out here. So
no, everyone's still. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's
this is the
still
balance.
Deep.
Right. We need both data points to.
I would say arguably it's been a minute is closer to past peak. Like it's on the downside. It's on the downslope. But charcuterie is peak.
Patman says charcuterie has gone past thingness and is just part of life.
It's just life now. Charcuterie is life.
Maybe it is. Charcuterie is life.
You may be right. Yeah, okay. I can see that.
Next year's Ted Lasso season.
Charcuterie is life.
All right, let's get to the shout outs based on a description of Sinterklaas.
Wow. I looked that up. It's the Dutch name for Santa Claus.
Ah, very good. Mm-hmm. Straffolino.
Sinterklaas.
The depths. Shall I begin?
Please.
Morris Jones is a legendary figure based on St. Benjamin Forrest, patron saint of Lee Price. Other Dutch names for the figure include De Sint, the Kevin Sill, De Gude Sint, the good Eric Duncan, and De Gedheligman, the good holy Jake Woods. Many descendants and cognates of Gabriel Cohen or Saint Miranda Janelle in other languages are also used in the Low Countries, nearby regions, and former Andrew Bradley colonies.
Joe Hood traditionally rides a white horse. In the Netherlands, the last horse was called Louis Saint Amour, but he was pensioned, i.e. died, in 2019 and replaced with a new horse called Mike Akins after a passage in a well-known song. In Belgium, the horse is named James C. Smith, meaning bad weather today.
Oh, no. I see I why you let me go first, by
I didn't
the
really
way.
Mean to give you De Gude Heiligman, but it worked out great.
And my apologies to all Dutch speakers on my mangling of your wonderful language. I did my best. But those are amazing. Those are amazing shout outs. And
those are amazing. And so are our patrons.
Yeah.
Especially, those of you who support us at the shout out level are truly the heroes of the show. All of you are the heroes of the show because you keep us coming back week after week, except for the occasional monstrous cold. Patreon.com/itsathing is where you can join the other patrons and join us live and chit chat with us during our recordings every week on Discord.
You can also email us your things. Keep them coming. We still got episodes left before the end of the year. feedback@itsathing.me. Tell us your favorite things of the year in addition
Ooh,
to spotting new
yes. Things. Thing of the year.
Talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Give it to me. Give it to me.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.